Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. Wow. With me, as always, is Benji Chester and Akiva Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling great. I feel like we're in a really good rhythm. You know, I was nervous about being unprofessional, about being like 4 minutes late to this record, but it sounds like there's a baby who's really been with us the whole way here that's acting way less professional than I am.
You know, he's been great for, you know, the first 10 podcasts of his life, but I guess he, you know, this is the one of the crappiest teams we've discussed yet, and he is really not interested in talking about Joe Burrow or the Cincinnati Bengals today. So a little disappointed by Ben's performance here. And because we're talking Bengals, that means, as we do every year, we are welcoming our longtime Bengals guest, sixth appearance or something, I don't even know he can tell us, Zach Sosta. So, Zach, welcome back to 32 Fans. How many times have you been with us before?
I think this is six or seven.
Okay.
Sixth or seventh, yeah, because...
I think you previewed a playoff game for us once.
Yeah, we did that.
Back when you guys used to, you know, lose the first round of the playoffs every year with Marv and Andy Dalton. But it's a new era in Cincinnati. Were you with us last year? Last year, I don't remember if you were, but last year I picked Coach Taylor to be Coach of the Year, and I thought the Bengals would go 8-8, so I was slightly off.
It's a little off there. Yes. We did do it, yes, last year. I think 2 years ago we skipped that.
Although, I probably at this point, you're probably happier with how last year ended and the fact that you have Burrow than if you had been 8-8 and not made the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't have worked out better.
Yep. All right, so let's jump right into it. You know, Joe Burrow... probably more hyped than any quarterback drafted since, what would you say, Akiva? Andrew Luck, maybe?
Well, definitely not more hyped than Luck. So if you look, if you work backwards.
Yeah,
I'm saying, like, definitely less hyped than Luck. So I'm just trying to think if that works. Like, Cam, kind of.
I was so into the Burrow porn last year. And just, he had one of the best seasons I've really ever seen in college. But it was just, it was a way that translates to the pros. The way that he would sort of be rolling out, keep both hands on the ball in a crowd. He, you know, not to fumble, not to turn the ball over. While his eyes were downfield the entire time, he really looked like a professional quarterback in such a way. And like Andy Dalton, we've been, I think, bigger Andy Dalton fans than sort of the casual NFL fan who loves to dunk on Dalton. He was an above average quarterback, you know, with one borderline MVP season until he got injured. In Cincinnati, and he did well enough to get them to the playoffs, you know, year after year. But Burrow's ceiling is much higher than that.
Much higher than Andy Dalton's? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to agree. Wait, can we just go over before we get like super into the Bengals, Zach and Alex? All right, I'm just going to give you the quarterbacks drafted first in the post-Luck era. Okay.
The first number one overall pick, or anybody in the first
It has
round?
To be number one overall pick because if you're Luck level. Excitement, unless there's like two guys and it's like a Manning Leaf situation, but there hasn't really been one since then.
We had Wentz, right?
Wentz and Goff. And Goff, you know, if you're old, Bledsoe and Meyer. But, okay, so since Andrew Luck, I mix it up. Cam was before Andrew Luck, okay? Mm-hmm. We have Jameis, I'd say less than
Jameis, Mariota were, you know, also the top two picks, right?
Yeah, I'd say Goff is less.
For sure.
Goff came up. Goff was never like, oh, he's obviously going to be the number one the entire college football season. Baker Mayfield, a little tricky, a little smaller.
Darnold was, for most of the year, expected to be the first pick in that draft.
Yeah. Baker came up and topped those guys. And then Kyler Murray last year also. You can't put him above. He had too many marks.
Yeah.
So, yes. The answer is yes. The most since Luck and Cam.
Yeah. Although Burrow, you know, if he had come out a year earlier, and he would never have, he wouldn't have even been a first-round pick. So he wasn't a guy who was sort of preordained for years the way like a Peyton Manning was. He was just a guy who had just such an incredible season for LSU.
I want to know, Zach, what have you – obviously there's been almost nothing to go on other than a few – I mean, I don't even know how many beat writers the Bengals have, you know, tweeting out what he's been doing. What are the very, very, very obscenely early reports on Burrow in camp?
The early reports are through the Zoom meetings and everything. He picked up the playbook really well. The guys are all very impressed with his leadership. That he's not nervous like a rookie. He even said he's kind of surprised that he's not more nervous. The first few practices, the first one went really well. The second one was a little shaky. Today was a little bit better. But they're saying he's doing a great job. There's a really funny video out there of the entire defense chasing him because they got through the offensive line. But they're saying he's doing a really nice job. He threw his first pick today, though.
He's also been a great leader, you know, off the field on Twitter. Even he's leading college football players. He's not even in college anymore.
Yeah, he's definitely still trying to get them to play football for the whole Black Lives Matter movement. He was out front.
Yeah. So let's talk about the offense that he's stepping foot into. So Andy Dalton, you know, one of the challenges for him was that his annual Pro Bowl receiver, AJ Green, missed most of the last 2 years. And now he's, I think, 32 years old as the season starts. Tyler Boyd has emerged as a very solid, you know, slot middle of the field type of receiver. And they drafted T. Higgins in the second round. But, you know, if AJ Green isn't back to being AJ Green, and obviously after 2 injured years and at the age of 32, it's a risk. That's a lot of pressure on Higgins, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're actually the wide receiver is one of our deepest positions. Like AJ Green's obviously still our big name superstar. We'll see what AJ Green we still have, but Tyler Boyd is coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in T. Higgins' second-round pick. We also, last year, Auden Tate, I don't know if you've seen his highlight reel. He was he has some pretty spectacular catches. And then, I mean, so you have, like, weapons like Auden Tate and then John Ross.
Well, Auden Tate and John Ross are the kind of guys who, like, everyone has sniffed in their fantasy leagues waivers. But, you know, they haven't really – and I do know, you know, Tate has made a couple of great catches, but neither one of those guys is a guy who you expect to be getting, you know, 10 targets a week.
What was Ross's deal? He left because of COVID or someone in his family had COVID and he just came back today or something?
Yeah, people in his family had COVID, so he went home. And so he just reported back that he's coming back today, so he can just get tested. So they're saying he'll be back as soon as Saturday.
Yeah, but you do have a point. They do have five, you know, at least NFL caliber wide receivers, and my team has really had like 2.5 for a while. So,
this is AJ's 10th year. Alex, do you have AJ Green near the Hall of Fame?
No. So he's an interesting.
He's really done nothing for 2 years.
Yeah, though. He made the Pro Bowl each of the first 7 years of his career. Not that you know necessarily making the Pro Bowl means anything, but you know it doesn't. It means I guess it means something. But he was, you know, he was far behind like you know like Antonio Brown, for example, who was sort of his contemporary, and he definitely I think needed to. I mean, there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of receivers who play at an AJ Green level for 15 years who aren't even in the Hall of Fame yet just because they're such a glut, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's, you know, and if his career is over, if he does not sort of turn it around and have a number of more Pro Bowl seasons, there's no chance he's going to make the Hall of Fame because, you know, Reggie Wayne isn't in the Hall of Fame and Torrey Holt isn't in the Hall of Fame and Anquan Boldin isn't in the Hall of Fame and Hines Ward isn't in the Hall of Fame. So I don't think you could argue that AJ Green deserves to make it above any of those guys. Right.
Isn't it weird that Hines Ward is just the assistant receivers coach for the Jets the last couple of years? Like, wasn't he like a TV guy? Isn't that strange that he's like making like 90 grand working for the Jets in anonymity?
Well, you got to work your way up, I guess. Yeah. But I guess he.
No, a guy that famous usually gets to start as a position coach, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's not good. But why, Akiva, do you think AJ Green? I have AJ Green right now at number 31 all time.
No, he's not a famer. I want to ask.
He could be. If his career was halfway through, he would be. But, right? He's definitely behind. He's behind Julio and behind Antonio Brown among his contemporaries.
I don't want to hear from Alex. I want to hear from Zach about Zach. Tell us about Zach Taylor.
About Coach? So, I mean, we'll really see what he's made of this year. They're all talking about how the culture is better than it's ever been. We actually went out and got big name free agents, and a lot of them named the culture and the energy that Coach Taylor brings to the table. People are speaking very highly of him. He did get hired really late into the offseason last year because of the Rams run, so he didn't have a ton of offseason. So it took a while for us to even look like a football team, let alone compete. But if you look at the back half of last year, we started competing. I think the last like 8 games, we only lost one by more than a touchdown, and we won 2. And the one that we lost by more than a touchdown was the Patriots. So we were looking like a lot better of a team. Part of the problem was our defense wasn't great, so I don't know how much he could help. But I'm a fan of his. I think this year will be the real tell if he can put together a real offense and a real program.
Yeah, it's, you know, you guys did go 2-14 last year, and your close losses were to teams like the Dolphins and the Browns and the Raiders. So I don't know if there's too much to brag about there just yet. But,
the Steelers.
Yeah, they lost to the Steelers as well. That's true, yeah. Although the Steelers, yeah, weren't so great last year either. Let's come back to the offense for 1 second. So we talked about the receivers. At tight end, I feel like Tyler Eifert's entire Cincinnati career was all about, like, if he's healthy this year, he's going to be great. And they finally moved on from him. And so, but I'm looking at the depth chart, and ahead of CJ Ozuma, who I've heard of, is a guy I've never heard of, a Drew Sample. So give us some Drew Sample stats or facts.
Drew Sample was our second round pick last year, and he got hurt end of the season. So we don't really know
where
much
to go to
about
school?
Him. I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
It was kind of like a little bit of a head scratcher pick last year when we took him, but it was like he's a blocker. Like so CJ is going to be our like pass catcher, and Drew is like our more of our blocking tight end. He was the number one blocking tight end at the college.
He's from Washington.
Okay, I will say this offense, other than I guess Eifert leaving, it's pretty, and obviously you have a new quarterback, which is nothing minor, but most of the weapons other than that are pretty consistent. You have a, you know, all the receivers are back for the most part, you know, Green's health notwithstanding, and Mixon and Bernard, like you have the same guys in the backfield, so hopefully there's not too much turnover, and it should be a little bit easier for Burrow than if you're stepping into a system where, you know, everybody's new.
I mean, yeah, the big thing that we have going is we got a new quarterback, which is the biggest position. We've only upgraded. I mean, getting AJ Green back, assuming he's healthy for week one, and T. Higgins only helps the offense.
Yeah.
And then the big thing is last year our first round pick was Jonah Williams, and he didn't play at all.
Yeah.
And so it's like we're getting both a quarterback and a top 10 left tackle infused with a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver. So it's not that many new players. It's just our best players were hurt last year and they're all back this year. So it's a definitely like a an offense that like we have the luxury of them being on the team last year, but the benefit of like it can be really upgraded.
You know, they have a starting guard named Michael Jordan. I feel like that should have been a bigger deal last year.
We do.
Did you know, Alex, did you know that Jordan Kalish, our friend Jordan Kalish's full name is Jordan Michael?
Is he named after Michael Jordan or no?
I mean, like, he was born in 1990. It wasn't like he was born when Jordan was in North Carolina. Can't be a complete accident.
Yeah, well, so let's talk about the offensive line for a second. So you have Michael Jordan, who we know nothing about except that he's got a famous name. Jonah Williams is a guy who, you know, I know going into the 2019 draft was a guy I was targeting. And then, as you said, he missed all of last year. So I guess they have high hopes there. But this was one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year. And if something were to happen to Burrow, you might as well just, you know, contract the whole franchise. So tell us, other than Jonah Williams, who I think they're going to slot in at left tackle, who is there as a Bengals fan that you have confidence in this mediocre line?
Our center, Trey Hopkins, he actually had really good ratings last year. I mean, you never know with offensive line. Did he just do a little bit better than the worst guys? So it made him look better. But he's actually been really consistent, really solid. He won the job 2 years ago and beat out Billy Price for it. So Billy Price is now a backup. It's still kind of a little bit question marks of who our starters are going to be. We have about like five guys fighting for the last three spots. We signed Xavier, I can't say his last name, Sufolio from Dallas. So he's solid. We'll see if he comes in, and we drafted a guy that could play guard. So it's still a little up in the air on who it's going to be, but there's competition. We have like competent NFL players this year. So hopefully we can put together an NFL line, but starting with an anchor at left tackle is huge.
It is interesting how this team has so many of the big names from when they were, you know, a playoff team every year, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, Green and Mixon. And then on the defense, the line is still anchored by both Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins, both of whom have to be getting on in years. They gave a lot of money to DJ Reader to, you know, stuff runs in the middle. And I see in the depth chart, is that the same Mike Daniels from the Packers?
Yeah, we lost two of our defensive tackle. One went on opt out, and another guy got hurt and we had to cut him. He didn't pass his physical. So we went out and we just signed Mike Daniels last week. So yes.
And then there's another defensive tackle in the depth chart with an amazing name that I'm going to try not to butcher. Freedom Akinmolaadun. So tell us about Freedom.
Freedom. Yeah, we got him last year as a college free agent. He's solid guy. I don't know. He's like on the bubble of making the team. He's definitely.
Okay. By the way, the weird thing about this team, they have like seven defensive linemen people have heard of, and then nobody in the back seven that anyone's ever heard of.
Their linebackers might be worse. Like, their linebackers might be the weakest spot of the whole team. Yeah, I've never heard of any of these linebackers.
I can't even judge them. I don't know them.
Yeah.
You want me to talk about the linebackers?
Yeah, sure. Tell us something about them.
So we have totally – we're starting the process of revamping our linebacker core. Believe it or not, this is a massive upgrade over last year's linebacker core. Jermaine Pratt, we drafted last year in the third round, and by the end of the season, he became a starter and took over. Josh Brines was a Baltimore Raven, so we kind of brought him to be like the veteran. And then Logan Wilson, we drafted in the third round as well. So those are most likely are going to be our three starting linebackers.
So a lot of youth at linebacker behind an older defensive line.
Yes, it's all youth. I think Rhines has more games played than everybody else on the linebacker core almost.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, if you're the guys who are actually going to make the team of your, like, typical six linebackers, you have Rhines, and then you have Jermaine Pratt, who played one season, and then you'll have three rookies who we drafted this year. Or undrafted free agents.
Now, let's go to corner for a second. So obviously, my coach, Mike Zimmer, was the longtime cornerback guru in Cincinnati. And I guess turnabout is fair play because you signed both Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes from the Vikings this offseason. I was going to say, if you guys are hoping for a lot out of Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander, I have bad news for you. But now I see that Waynes has hurt himself and may miss the entire season. So you don't even have the guy, sort of the highest priced free agent you added there. So the starting corners, I guess, would be Alexander, who at best is like a nickel corner, and William Jackson III. Are those the starting corners right now?
Yeah, so William Jackson is still our number one cornerback on the team. Okay. And
Dre Kirkpatrick, is he gone? Because I don't see him.
Yes, we cut him. Okay. We cut him.
Oh, is he in the league even?
He hasn't been. He's a free agent right now.
Okay. Maybe the Vikings should sign him.
Yeah, so we lost Trey Waynes. Probably he's going to go on the IR, designated to return. We might get him back in like week 10. But yeah, there's a lot of rumors that we still have like upwards of $9 million left in our cap space that we're going to go after one of these, like veteran cornerbacks, like a Logan Ryan, type player, or Dre has been named to come in and kind of fill the spot. But we have Darius Phillips, who we drafted 2 years ago in the fifth round. And I don't know if you remember him. He was like a highlight reel in college. He's been our punt returner. He's fun to watch. And last year he played the last couple weeks and got three interceptions, which led the team in interceptions. So there's a lot of, like, maybe it's worth seeing what Darius Phillips has to offer.
And then at safety, Von Bell, he was on the Saints for the last couple of years.
Yeah. And he's going to start with Jesse Bates.
Was he a free agent signing, or did they trade for him?
Nope, free agent signing.
Oh, because I don't know. How much did they give him? I don't even remember that. Is it a big story?
I think I have it open. But we gave him, it was, I think, a one-year, $5 million deal, something like that.
Oh, okay. All right. So a lot of turnover, I guess, in the secondary. But I guess it can't get worse than last year. So
we have six new starters at least on defense from last year. So we've definitely tried our best to go out there and revamp our defense. But we kept our guys like Gino and Dunlap and surrounded them by others. Like, you can't now double team Gino every play with DJ Reader or Mike Daniels next to him. So
if you take out the guys who were hurt, Jonah literally, I think, didn't play, right? And AJ Green, did AJ Green step on the field for one game or no?
No,
right. He had that.
There was talk of him stepping on the field.
Right. If they were good, maybe he would have played week 17 or something. But the
same with Jonah Williams.
And Jonah Williams. So I don't know how many offensive stars they have, but this might be the most turnover of any team in the league if you don't count those guys because they didn't play last year.
Offense, the only real new starter we have is going to be whoever starts at right guard and Joe Burrow. And then count AJ Green. On defense, it's six or seven guys on defense. You're William Jackson's a starter, Jesse Bates, Dunlap, Geno, and Sam Hubbard. That's it.
What if Joe Burrow, I guess for both of you, has, let's say, What do we think his ceiling is this year? Like, at better than Kyler last year? I'm trying to think. Like, what's the best rookie year from a top? It's weird because some of the best years have been from, you know, like Dak was a fourth round pick, let's say. So what's Burrow's absolute apex for this season? And then, like, if he's that, what's the Bengals sort of ceiling?
Well, I mean, I'm going to let Zach answer.
Yeah, I think it's higher because our schedule isn't difficult. We play a lot of the like weaker teams this year. Like, we got the Dolphins, we got the Chargers. Who knows what they're going to be like? We got Jacksonville. We don't have a very difficult schedule this year. So I imagine it's, you know, your ceiling is like 10 games, I guess you'd say. But that's a massive improvement. 2 wins to 10 wins.
Well, so here, let me put it this way. I have a ranking of the greatest rookie quarterbacks of all time, shockingly. The shock here is I have not updated it since the end of the 2017 season, so I don't actually have Kyler or But
there's not much from Baker and Darnold that would make the top of the list.
No, I disagree. Baker absolutely would be in the top 15. Like, it's pretty historically, rookie quarterbacks really don't do a lot. So, you know, Dak Prescott, I've Otto Graham, the best of all time, but that's from 1946, so kind of hard to count. And then the rest of my list is Dak Prescott, number two, RG3, number three, Russell Wilson, number four, Y.A. Tittle, number five, again, hard to compare, Cam Newton, number six, Charlie Connerly, number seven, that's our third guy from the 1940s, Dan Marino, number eight, Matt Ryan, number nine, and then Deshaun Watson, number 10. He only played half a season, but obviously he was so good in those games. And then Jameis, Ben Roethlisberger. So, and actually kind of funny, but everybody's either from the 1940s or from the last 10 years. So in between, I guess, quarterbacks tended to start on the bench in the rookie year. So, you know, let's say he has sort of a Carson Wentz type season. Carson Wentz played all 16 games, had 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 3,800 yards. A 79 quarterback rating. He was probably around the 22nd best quarterback in the league or something like that, I would guess. But he showed enough that within a couple of years, he was like an MVP candidate. So if I think a Carson Wentz type season would probably be something you'd be pretty happy with, right?
Yeah, I mean, the ideal situation is just at least prove that we really got a real quarterback. That's like the what we all want to see.
What you don't want is like what Keith has in Sam Darnold, where it's still all potential, but you don't really have enough confidence that this is going to be your quarterback for the next decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only optimism I guess I have is I think you need to have optimism. It's just none of those guys that you mentioned had as good of a senior year as or last year playing as Joe Burrow did last year, and he looked like a professional.
Which would you rather, Zach? Would you rather this team go 8-8 this year, sneak into the seventh spot, the last wild card spot, but Joe Burrow just play really poorly? Or would you rather Joe Burrow look really, really good, but the team go 4-12?
Joe Burrow.
So you're looking at it from the long haul. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the right answer, right, Keith?
Yes.
Zach has seen enough first round playoff exits.
Yeah. What does making the playoffs mean then? Nothing.
Yeah.
Winning a playoff game
matters with Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. If this team.
So hold on. Let me revise that. Same offer as before, but as the 7 seed, as the 8-8 7 seed, you go into the 2 seed and win a playoff game. You win 20-17 in the first round, and then you get
in Baltimore.
In Baltimore, and then the next round you lose to the Chiefs 63-2.
I'll take a playoff win.
You would take that over 4-12, but Burrow look stupendous.
But I mean, Burrow can't look terrible if we're making the playoffs and winning a playoff game.
Maybe it's all Ryan Finley.
Joe Mixon wins MVP, wins league MVP.
Joe Mixon runs for 2,200
yards.
Yeah.
If we made the playoffs not because of Joe Burrow, I'd rather Joe Burrow. But if he's the start of the whole season and we make the playoffs, I'll take it with a win.
All right. Well, why don't we look at the schedule and play a little
bit? But can I ask you a question also? Let's say Burrow plays fine, maybe he misses a couple of games. For whatever reason, they go 5-11, 4-10. Being this is the Bengals, I'd assume Zach Taylor is not on the hot seat, right?
No, Zach Taylor is not on the hot seat. Marvin got over a decade. So,
I mean, for other teams, you go 2-14 to start, you'd be in trouble, right?
I think there's a lot more of like Katie and Troy, who's Mike's daughter and son-in-law, are starting to take over. I would say that they'll give Coach Taylor at least 2-3 seasons with Joe Burrow. Yeah. Otherwise, maybe they will have a shorter leash because we just went, you know, spent all this money on free agents and we just went out and, you know, got the first overall pick with Joe Burrow. So maybe they will have a short leash if it's not clicking.
It was also
at all.
Like a high variance coaching hire. Like it's a smart coaching hire if you're, you know, you're swinging for the fences, but there is a possibility that at some point this year, I was like, all right, he's not the guy. This is not working, whatever.
Okay, but who's the better Coach Taylor? Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights or Coach Zach Taylor without
it? I think they could both beat me up, even though I once claimed I could beat up Coach Taylor. A
couple
from
of good looking young men, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so Zach, let's look at the schedule.
I think this coach is probably better because that Coach Taylor always won games on like 99-yard fumble returns with no time left.
Yes. Although that coach did not have Joe Burrow. I mean, he was starting. Saracen was like, really not an elite caliber quarterback. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a different situation. All right, let's start week one at home, maybe in front of fans, who knows, against the Los Angeles Chargers.
They're also starting a rookie quarterback, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it. I would say they probably start Tyrod in week one, but who knows? Hard to
say. Is this on me to pick?
Yeah, this is on you to pick. You're the fan.
Oh, I'll go with Bengals.
Okay. And then you go at Cleveland in week two on Thursday night, so short rest.
We'll lose our first game.
Okay. All right. So 1-1, but Joe Burrow does win his debut. Week three, you go at the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think we lose.
Okay. And then you play Jacksonville at home in week four.
I think we win that game.
All right. So 2-2, not a bad start. It gets a little bit harder. Now you have to go at Baltimore and at Indianapolis in consecutive games.
We're going to lose at Baltimore. And Indy is a wild card because who knows how Rivers is going to mesh. But we'll probably, if Rivers plays decent, we'll lose. So I'll go with a loss there.
You dropped to 2-4. The Cincinnati at Indianapolis game right now is slated to be on Fox. It's one of those crossover games, even though it's two CBS teams. I guess you're, as a Cincinnatian and a Reds fan as well, what's your take on Tom Brenneman's comments in the game the other night?
I mean, Marty, is his dad, is such a legend. Yeah. And so I've been raised on listening to, like, Marty Brenneman and, you know, always ecstatic about Tom. Like, you know, we thought we had another Brenneman for a while. I mean, his comment was just said so naturally. Like, it's not like it was, like, immediately.
And in front of probably dozens of his coworkers. Like,
well, he is a natural because the way that he interrupts his apology to call the home run is one of the unintentionally hilarious, most hilarious home run calls of all time, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And no, he's incredible at what he does in terms of, you know, broadcasting, you know, but they just said today he works for Fox ultimately, yeah, and Fox just pulled
him. He will not be doing this game, yeah. Akiva, is there a more nepotistic industry than being a sports announcer?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was saying to Antonio Mazzaro, who's a a lifetime Cincinnatian, that, you know, this is a guy who is like a diet Joe Buck, right? He's like, you know, Jack Buck and Marty Brenneman, like, they're, you know, similar level. Like, Marty Brenneman, he's not as well known as Vin Scully, but he's an absolute legend.
I have to admit, before last night, I had never heard of Marty Brenneman.
No, he's a legendary broadcaster.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
I think Antonio said that he's in, like, every commercial when you go to the break still.
Like, well, yeah, well, Herb Carneal is like that for the Twins, but I don't know if he has a national reputation.
No, nobody's ever heard of Herb.
Yeah, but it's not really comparable to Buck or Scully or somebody.
No,
like
not
that.
Comparable.
He's
to
a
Buck.
Local legend.
I assume Marty Brenneman did build a lot of World Series, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Marty Brenneman, I mean, there was the World Series in the 70s, and Cincinnati had this radio broadcast that went over like 40 states, so you could get the Reds games in like 40 states for a long time.
Like throughout the South, weren't they the team? They were the team of the South for sure before the Braves.
No, the Braves.
Moved from Milwaukee. No, before the Braves moved from Milwaukee to Atlanta.
Yes. So
yeah.
Cincinnati, yeah. So yeah. People listen to Reds games and
yeah. All right. Yeah, so 2-4, you come home to play Cleveland again.
I think we beat Cleveland and Cincinnati.
All right, 3-4, and then at home against Tennessee. Can they get to 500 going into the bye?
I think so.
Wow. So 4-4. The headlines across the country are Joe Burrow, rookie Joe Burrow and the Bengals, 500 in November. Can they make a run at that wild card? You start at Pittsburgh after the bye.
Is Ben Roethlisberger going to be healthy? If he's healthy, we'll lose. Okay, he's so not.
You're 4-5, but then you have the easiest stretch of your schedule. Really, really getting lucky to face the NFC least this year. You play at Washington, you play home against the Giants, and you go at Miami. So how many of those three
wins?
Win. Wow. So all of a sudden they are 7-5 and really in the driver's seat for a playoff game. Although it's going to get tougher as we get into December. Play the Cowboys at home in week 14.
I think we lose that game.
All right, so 7-6, and then you're at home on Monday night against the Steelers. 7-6 Bengals, maybe 8-5 Steelers. Dun 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 dun.
See, I'm going to say we win that because I think the Joe Burrow narrative on national TV will.
Okay, so 8-6. Go into Houston. This is a game for, like, seeding at this point.
Yeah, I think we lose that game.
All right, 8-7, and then the final game of the year, probably a must-win to make the playoffs. Maybe you're hoping that Baltimore's locked into the one or the two seed or something like that. But But with only one bye this year, you know, teams really have to play, unless, again, they're literally locked into their position. So are you going to give that a win or a loss?
A loss.
All right, so 8-8. That's what I said they would do last year, and I was slightly off. But that would be a tremendous season. And Joe Burrow obviously has to be the rookie of the year if this team goes 8-8, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. But when I went through that, did it feel like any of the wins I picked was like a huge stretch?
I mean, when a team is 2-14, every win is a huge stretch, I would say. But but they do have an easy schedule.
It didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
Yes, it didn't feel like it.
All right, so Akiva, the over-under is 5.5. Our friend Zach is obviously, you know, all over that over. But Akiva, what do you say?
I think that you're essentially betting on how good Burrow is going to be. I'm going to go under, I think.
It's a low number.
I think the offensive line has potential to be a little better than people think, just if Jonah Williams is great. But it's also Basements being the worst offensive line.
And then
there's, you know, like we said, no team in the league would trade for this linebacker group unless they love one of the rookies. Defensive line is the best part of the team, but those guys are all insanely old.
Yeah, they're all old. And it's not great when you're, you know, marquee free agent acquisition at cornerback, who isn't that great anyways, but he's definitely a serviceable starting NFL.
No, those guys are fine. That's like the strength of their team.
No, but I'm saying, but Trey Waynes is out now. So if he misses the whole season, that's
right,
a big problem.
Right, right. True.
Mackenzie Alexander should not be a starting cornerback.
Right. So Mixon is a good player, and then the receiving group is good. So there's definitely, obviously, tools there for Joe Burrow if they can give him, like, the slightest bit of time to actually throw the football, you know, to succeed. But
So this team,
I think 5-11 is reasonable.
This team is 29th in our power rankings, and you had them 29, Akiva. I had them 29, and the listeners had them 29. So consensus there. So 5.5 is probably a pretty good number. I'm not sure which way I would go, really. Their schedule is very easy. That's really a real reason I would hesitate to pick the under. They have a very easy schedule.
Yeah, and I also think one of the things that you mentioned was, like, with our offensive line, Andy Dalton had some strengths. Averting defensive lineman was not one of them. Joe Burrow is definitely way lighter on his feet, so I think that he'll be able to stretch plays a little bit better and give some of our weapons some more time, even right off the bat.
Yeah, how do you feel to no longer have to root for a redheaded quarterback?
I just want to win games at this point.
Don't you remember that was a thing when he was first drafted? Like, some idiot scout said, like, oh, a redhead can't be a good quarterback.
I do remember that. He was great as a rookie. He was, his first few years, he was great.
In fact, didn't we once, with you on this preview podcast, make our list of the greatest redheaded